Let's pray. Father, I'm so thankful right now that you have brought us into this place once again. We magnify you. We seek you. We seek your counsel. We seek for you to change our hearts, Lord. We seek for you to guide us. We seek for you constantly, Lord. A wise man seeks you. And we want to be wise women and men of God that seek you for our every need because you alone supply. I pray that you would grace us now with your amazing presence that changes our hearts from glory to glory. May we have those ears that will be open to hear and that we will be doers and not hearers only of your word. Thank you, Master. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. This morning, as I just wrap up with a little devotional, and all of you are going, yeah, right. Can she do it? Well, I think the smell is going to draw me into the soup fest. So, but I do want to talk to you this morning about something that was laid on my heart during this time away. It's powerful, very powerful. And I pray that it will be just as life-changing to you as it has been to me. The Lord began to talk to me about having a pure heart. And, you know, we talked about what we're thankful for. We're thankful for our country. We're thankful for our families. We're thankful for the things that he has blessed us with and our possessions. But how often do we take what we're thankful for, let's say our country, and then we go off and complain? Anybody? Okay. Or our family. We're thankful for family. We're thankful for the family of God. We're thankful for our church family. And then we go off and complain. Okay. The Lord dealt with me about this, and he said, I want a pure heart. Out of Psalms 24, I'm going to read out of the Living Bible this morning. It says, the earth belongs to God. Everything in all of this world is his. He is the one who pushed the oceans back to let the dry land appear. Who may climb the mountain of the Lord? Or your translation, you may be more familiar with it, says, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may climb the mountain of the Lord and enter where he lives? Who may stand before the Lord? Only those with pure hands and with pure hearts who do not practice dishonesty and lying. They will receive God's own goodness as their blessing from him, planted in their lives by God himself, their Savior. These are the ones who are allowed to stand before the Lord and worship the God of Jacob. Open up, O ancient gates, and let the King of Glory in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, invincible in battle. Yes, open wide the gates and let the King of Glory in. Who is the King of Glory? The commander of all the heavenly armies. I want to talk to us today and I want to share with you a challenge to keep our Thanksgiving pure. Some of you may be hosting or going to a Thanksgiving dinner this week. And you'll be thankful. Granted, you'll go around the table maybe saying what you're thankful for. Anybody? Okay. We used to do that when the girls were little, our granddaughters were little, we'd do the alphabet with them. We'd go around and we'd have to say A, B, what we're thankful. And they had to repeat the person. We would do that and do that. And it got kind of fun. We just were thankful for goofy things. But we thank the Lord. It's a season. It's a time that our focus is on giving thanks. But how many can honestly say, you might go through that dinner and before it's over say, ugh, the turkey was too dry. The pie was too runny. Or this one. Pastor likes those little rolls that come in packages. I think they're a dozen, and half of them are whole wheat and half of them are white. I think they're called brown and serve. Does anybody know brown and serve rolls? Okay, y'all know brown serve rolls? Well, undoubtedly, if I get to build in those little ones and putting them in there and they're cooking, something else will call my attention, stirring the gravy or something. And over the years, they've become known as burn and serve rolls. Okay, you guys know what I'm saying. So then you just cut that little burn part off. Okay, it's a tradition. You just want to keep the tradition going. Burn and serve rolls. All right. Well, as thankful as we girls were to go to Africa and Ecuador, there were differences. There were changes that we had to adjust to. The food, the culture, the climate, whether or not we had hot or cold water for our shower, whether or not we did not have AC for our rooms. Sounds like you get the prize, Palma, if you had a monkey on your hut. You got it, girl. You did. We had a few critters, but we had more than a grass roof. But there was a temptation, a time and again, to complain. As thankful as we were, there was a time when there was the opportunity to have the mixture of complaining about something. We had a mixture, okay? Thankful, but yet. I'm thankful, but, okay? Some of you may know if you're my Facebook friend, because I think some of you read that, or if you were here Wednesday to hear at Girls Bible Study, that Monday when we were coming back, we'd flown out about 12:30 midnight, Monday morning, and we got into Atlanta, Georgia early that morning, and they were asking if anybody would mind giving up their ticket because the flight was overbooked. And I got to thinking, my daughter and her family live just 2 hours from Atlanta, Georgia. And even if I just had one night with them and then came home, oh, that would be so amazing because I hadn't been there for a year. And so I put my name down with a couple other of the guys that if by chance you needed one person, I would give up my ticket. And they talked about needing three people and then needing two people and then needing one person, then back to needing two, and played a little bit there until finally it was just going to be two guys. So the two gentlemen were going to stay, and I was boarding the plane because I didn't need that third person. And I said, "Are you sure you don't need me to stay? You sure you don't need me?" And she looked down and she said, "Actually, we just had a change, and we now only need one person to stay." And it was decided in our group that if it was three, we'd all stay. If it was two, the guys would stay. And if it was one, I got to stay. So here are the two guys thinking they're getting ready to stay. They get a $700 voucher for staying and just come back later in the day. So fast forward, they have to get on the plane and I get to stay. And I don't have to return home that day or the next day or the next day. I get to stay 3 days. Figure that out. Only God could orchestrate that. My son-in-law just happens to have Mondays off. He was able to come and get me. My granddaughters just happened to have their horse riding lessons that night, so I got to go to the stable and watch that, which was like deja vu because our daughter grew up on horses. Then the next day, I get to go to little 4-year-old Jacob's Thanksgiving program at his preschool, where he wears the little Indian suit made out of a paper sack. You know what I'm saying? It is so, I have the video if you want it. It's so, I mean, he's just like, he's the favorite. He's the stinking cutest of them all. In fact, the teacher, she wanted him to hold the American flag so they could salute it, but he was kind of too shy to do that, but he is the favorite. So she decided to give him a little piece to say. None of the other kids got the piece. So at the end of all their songs they did and all their cute things that they did, their hand motions, his piece was, "Thank you for coming to our Thanksgiving program." And I get to sit with him and have lunch with him, and he's mine. Okay, then the next day, I get to go to a Carrie Job concert with my granddaughters, paid for. That just happened to be that night in Montgomery, Alabama. Carrie Job is one of Pastor's absolute favorites, and I almost couldn't do it without you, honey, but oh well. But I did ask him when I told him, I said, "Are you sitting down when I'm going to tell you where I'm going to be?" Six pews from the front. And my little girls, I got video of them just worshiping Jesus, worshiping. It's a worship concert. It's not a concert. It's a worshiping. Is God good? All the time. But may I tell you, in confession, how thankful I was, I still bellyached. I bellyached because I had a window seat, and when they bumped me, I got a middle seat. I said to the person, I said, I'm not sitting by my husband or my friends. I'm with total strangers. And if I fall asleep, I will drool on them. It's not going to be good. I will just, you know how it happens, you know. And he's like, it's full. I can't switch any other seats. You got to have. So I bellyache. After all that, I'm like, okay, I got a middle seat. Oh, my goodness. I complained. We were given on the trip a lovely devotional to follow that has been made just for people who take short-term missions trips. This one was called Walk as He Walked, and every day we could do a devotional. And when I got to day 11, it was about complaining. God takes it personally. And I kind of thought this should have been day two, not day 11, because I'm not even sure everybody did all 12 of these lessons. But I'll tell you what, I got so much out of that, and that's what I'm going to share this morning, that God takes complaining personally. In Numbers 11, the children of Israel began to complain after all he'd done, complained about the manna, complained. And it says that his anger blazed against them. It says God was extremely angry. It says in Numbers 14 that God hears every complaint. Think about it. And it went on to say in this lesson, in Numbers 16, when we complain about leadership, we are actually revolting against God. Who puts leadership into their position? God. Sometimes we pray and pray and pray, and then when we get what he has given us, we complain about them. That angers God. Philippians 2:14 says, in everything you do, stay away from complaining. Stay away from arguing. So that no one can speak a word of blame against you. You are to live clean, innocent lives as children of God in a very dark world. You are to be shining out like beacon lights, shine like the stars in the universe. Yeah. Have you ever known a sourpuss? What is a sourpuss? No, no fingers. I just saw someone poking somebody. And it was over here. How rude. Okay, so they're just kind of like negative and kind of, right? They're kind of like belly achers. Okay, so when you think of a sourpuss, I was thinking of that and I thought, sour, what's sour? Well, lemons are sour. So I think I have a glass of water here. Quite often we will add the lemon because we like the flavor and it masks out maybe the chemicals that are in city water. But I want to tell you that adding lemon to your water might be okay to drink, but adding that sourness to your life is putrid. It's like a poison. It is not like a lemon. It is definitely a poison. It's like a parasite. And just keeping it very real, you saw some of the food that we ate in the villages, and we even drank some of their special drinks. We'll talk about that. Well, maybe we won't talk about that at lunch. But several of us did get parasites. Our intestines were not working well, and at the very end, we had to actually, just like your kitties and your doggies are wormed, we had to get wormed because we had to pass through those parasites. And I want to tell you what, complaining is like a parasite. It will sap the nutrition out of your food, and it will change your digestive tract, and it is deadly. Parasites are deadly. And that's what complaining will do. The children of Israel, they say, could go for 11 days and make it to the promised land, but instead it took them 40 years. And why? They complained. Number one, complaining and murmuring and bickering. Okay? It angers the Lord. It says extremely angry is what it does. It makes him very, very unhappy with us.
So, could we just be thankful, period? Could we? Could we just give thanks without adding that little complaint? Could we just keep it pure? So today, when somebody else gets that last piece of pie that you had your eyes set on, could you just be okay with that? And not complain. She always does like, is this not true? God hears our complaints. He hears those little whispers. He hears those little whiny things that we do. And it reveals my selfish heart. It reveals how self-centered I am because I didn't get it my way. We often disguise complaining and we call it venting. I just needed to vent. Anybody? You just need to vent? Okay? Really, we're just belly aching, okay? Venting is sometimes necessary, but this devotional told me in Psalms 142:2, pour out your complaints to God. In other words, go to the throne and not the phone. Okay? I gotta text what they did. I gotta tell somebody. I gotta complain about this and that. Okay? Go to the throne. It says right here, Psalms 142:2, pour out your complaints. He can take it. And he can do something about it. He can change my heart. Telling somebody else and complaining and bickering and murmuring angers, exasperates our God. So would anybody along with me like to stop angering God? Anybody? Would you like to stop having that little under your breath thing, you know? We went clear across this world to minister to orphans and underprivileged. We were all that. Yay, us. But you know, every one of us complained at one point. Can I just say that? Mm-hmm. There was mixture. I wasn't proud. I confessed to my buddy. Cried some tears. I wasn't proud that I mixed it up. That I wasn't pure of heart. You know, we can portray one thing to people and then talk behind someone's back. Which do you think honors God? Which do you think angers God? Of course it angers God when we have mixture, when we don't keep it pure. Just be thankful and let it go. Last verse, Colossians 3:17. Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other. Keep you in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing. And cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense. And sing. Sing your hearts out to God. Let every detail of your life, your words, your actions, your thoughts, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way. In everything you do at all times, honor him. In whatever you do, word or deed, no mixture. Yesterday there was a baby shower here at the church. Some of us were able to attend and we had a little safety pin that was put on us. And if we said the word baby, we got our pin taken away. And so I just went ahead and said baby because I knew I wasn't going to be able to not say baby. So I just said baby, 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 and it was over with. I gave my pin away. I was done. Well, then I heard some other people doing that, and I got some pins back. But I thought, wouldn't it be kind of interesting if we all put pins on today, and if we heard somebody complaining, we just, I need your pin. Okay. You know, could we just take it up a notch? Could we go one day without complaining? 1 hour. Could we go one meal today without complaining? Do you know that we're growing our children? It's growing. The ministry is expanding. That pastors Denny and Dee have vision for this canyon And we're now downstairs getting ready to expand and fill that family center with kiddos. Well, that means today we're going to have to tear down a little bit. We're going to have to set up a little bit. And then we're going to have to tear down a little bit. And then we're going to have to set up a little bit. Oh, well, could we do that without complaining? Thank you. Okay. So since I don't have pins to pass out, maybe I'll just give you permission to go stomp on toes. If you hear any complaining, just go, oops. Oops! Okay, I mean, come on. Could we just stop complaining? Complaining is a sin because the Father says do everything without grumbling and complaining. What part of do not don't we understand? Could we just not complain about our family, our leadership, our situations, our government, in everything at all times, give Him thanks. In everything at all times, give Him thanks. I'm very thankful for you. I'm thankful for your love and your support, your prayers. I'm thankful that you invest your time, your talents, your treasures, your temples for Jesus' glory. And I'm going to invite Dale Murray right now to come up, and this couldn't be more timely. When Dale began to get this prompting from the Holy Spirit and he followed through, little did we know this special day would be this special day and that God would just weave this message in his gift of love so beautifully. Thank you, Dale.
Thanksgiving is that time of year when we gather with family and friends, we cook up a gigantic feast, we maybe watch a little football, if you can keep your eyes open after eating all that turkey. But most of all, we're thankful for this. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. So in the spirit of giving thanks, we would be blessed if you would receive this as a gift, as a reminder of what God has done for you. Each of these hearts are lined with unique stones, none being exactly alike, just like our individual lives are unique the way God created them. The red glass stones are a reminder of the blood that Jesus shed for you. Both the cross at the center and the blood that was shed represent the sacrifice that God made on our behalf. Our ushers will be handing them out as you exit the doors here. They weigh about 3 pounds, so I advise you not to drop one on your toe.
Unless you're complaining,
the stone is designed to release itself from your hand and drop on your toe. So God bless you, and everybody have a thankful Thanksgiving.